Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. I would like for you to consider something, that failure doesn't consist in stumbling and falling. The failure is staying there on the ground. See, success is in finding something while you're down there to help pick you up. After his butcher shop in Brooklyn was robbed 4 times in 1 month, William Levine bought a bulletproof vest in 1980. Other business proprietors asked him where they could get a vest like his, and so Mr. Levine began taking orders on a sideline job. Shortly thereafter, Levine got out of the butcher shop business and began as a full-time president of Body Armor International. And he had 40, thank you, representatives across the country and sold hundreds of vests each month. You have failed many times. Was that me? Did I have a little tinkle there? Little sound of, okay, good. Whew. I thought that was the call home. You know, I was going to be out here in a minute. Probably you fell down the first time you tried to walk. I love there's a little video on Facebook that James has with Kale standing for the first time. It's like, love that. It's very cool, especially the coaching of Dad there. You almost drowned the first time you tried to swim, probably. At least you thought you were. Did you hit the ball the first time you swung at it with a bat? No. Heavy hitters, man, I tell you, English is a hard language. I tell you. Heavy hitters are the ones who hit the most runs, but they also strike out a lot. Babe Ruth, he hit 714 home runs, but he, wow. We are all out of sync today, aren't we? Teresa, you just took your job. We'll talk to him later on about that. We'll clue him in on the whole thing and the whole process, what's going on. Babe Ruth, back to my thoughts, 714 home runs, but he struck out 1,330 times. R.H. Macy failed 7 times before his store in New York caught on. English novelist John Creasy got 753 rejection slips before he began to publish the first of his 564 books. Failure is a part of life. Failure is not a problem. The problem is not learning from the failures that we do. No one learns to make right decisions without being free to make the wrong ones. I believe the Bible encourages us to not worry about failure. What worries me are the chances I'll miss if I don't try. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this time and for this morning. Thank you for the gathering together as we study your word. And Father, just thank you for your grace. Thank you for all the times we've stumbled and fall, but you've given us the courage and the stamina and the ability to get upright again. Father, give us the food that we need right now to consume, to be strengthened, to walk the life that you've called us to. And we'll give you glory for it in Christ's name. Amen. I would like for you to turn to 2 passages this morning. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a chair Bible around you. You can turn to the page numbers that are behind me. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 25, and I want you to hold your finger there. And I also want you to go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, because these are two passages that are contrasting and important for the message of today. Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians chapter 4, 13. Now I want to look at the Philippians passage first. Philippians 4, 13 says this. This is Paul writing. He says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now look back at Matthew chapter 25. It's a parable of Jesus. He's teaching about the talents, about the master who entrusted his slaves, 3 slaves with an amount. And a talent is an amount. We don't know what that amount is. We just know that it is a portion of income, a portion of money. And he's given to his 3 slaves 3 different amounts. and or three mounts, and each one was to utilize that until he came back. And this one in verse 25, actually start 24, says, "And the one who had received the one talent came up and said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed.'" He's criticizing the master. "I know that I'm doing the work on this and you didn't do the work. You gave me this, but you're tough. You're a tough hombre." Verse 25, "And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, what you have is yours." Here's the one talent back. Matthew 25, 25, "And I was afraid, and you went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. I'm giving it back to you after all this time." Philippians 4, 13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Exact opposites of the spectrum. Two different statements. One was made by a man who was afraid to fail and did nothing. The others invested and received some portion back from what they did, but not this one. The other, the second comment, was made by a man who was free to fail and did everything. Paul. As far as the biblical record is concerned, some of the greatest achievements in the history of God's kingdom have come from very ordinary, imperfect people who have overcome failure to be used by God in significant ways. God takes the ordinary and he makes extraordinary out of it. Their lives model some biblical principles for overcoming failure. But where were we? Where were we before we came to Christ? Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting verse 9. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate or homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, or revilers, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Wow. That's pretty stinging. You may think, well, I'm pretty safe. I'm not in that category, you know. But listen to what he says. "Such were some of you." I'm in that category. Do you find yourself anywhere in there? Do you think so highly of yourself that you cannot relate to what God pulled you out of and to what you have now? "But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God." Look at that last verse, verse 11. "Such were some of you." He pulls on the past, but, the proverbial but, "you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God." I love that he used it again. He could just use one "but" and continue on, but he keeps bringing their face back to but this. Look at this, what you were, but look at what you are now or should be now and are in God's eyes. I believe the problem with the church is that we are perceived as hypocritical because nobody is perfect. Nobody's perfect. And you know what? That's exactly right. And we should acknowledge that, the fact that we're not perfect. But we should be pointing them to the perfect one, God. It's not my perfection that I seek, but it's God's perfection that I desire to follow. I can't be perfect in myself. I wouldn't want a reality show in our home. That'd be scary. Might be a comedy. Might be hilarious. You wouldn't even need the laugh track because you'd be doing so much at home. Not perfect. We are seen as judgmental rather than pointing to the one that will righteously judge everyone who's walked upon this earth. It's not our place to judge. It is our job to show contrast to living in Scripture, though. If there are things, we're called to follow what God has taught. We're called to follow what God says. It's not our judgment. Here's what the Word says, but we better examine ourselves very carefully first to make sure that we're not being hypocritical in that. Jesus Christ is the most real and authentic person who ever walked on the earth. Don't cop out and say, well, yeah, that was God. But you know what? He had two natures and he was fully human. He was confronted with every temptation that we have been, but yet he did not fail. He did not fall. He did not choose unrighteousness. He chose righteousness. To make Christianity real, first, do not try to hide or conceal your failures. I shared, and I was reminded of that as we were practicing in praise team this morning about that song. That was a very important song to me because it said everything that I was feeling. You know, I was feeling confused. I didn't know what was going on. I felt that there was a veil, but then it just, it's like God raised that veil, and like he was calling me, I want you to serve me. And believe me, it was not an easy road from that point. There was a lot of things I had to go through, a lot of things I had to endure because I had a past. But Pastor Greg, my pastor who became my mentor, said, never apologize for your past. Never hold it back. That's why in my bio on the website, it says I've been divorced twice. Am I proud of that? No, absolutely not. But it's a part of who I was, and then I can point to who God has made me today. Some people they spend their lives trying to cover up their mistakes. They become prisoners of pretense, retreating into fabrication or delusion, like it didn't exist. It did exist. The glory is that God's taken you out of that. You don't have to be that person anymore. Their entire lives become a charade, a great hypocrisy, which is why the church gets a bad name. You can change your name, but you can't change your past. But you're not tied to your past. Well, it shackles you for today. That is the wise to do. Accept what the past was and move forward in God's strength. You don't have to be a victim in your past because God has made you a victor in him. The first step in overcoming our failures is to admit them. We must be willing to confess honestly before God and seek his forgiveness and restoration. Yes, if we offended somebody, we should go to them as well, but it's God that we want to be right with. You know, everyone in this room may hate me, send me ugly mail. Don't do that. But my responsibility is to make sure that I'm right with God. Because I could be right with all of you. Send you all a dollar in the mail. If I had a dollar. But if I'm not right with God, none of that makes any difference, does it? We have to get our priorities straight, that this is our first priority. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, John says, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Anyone here not sin this week? At all? Oh, come on. Oh, Paul, you didn't? Okay, well, good. Well, that's good. Yes and no. Well, no. If you did, you did. We all do. That's the point. You know, I don't care if it's a thought, you know, we have to make sure that. We have to guard ourselves, right? None of us are sinless. Okay. Thank you. I'll move on now. But if we confess our sins and are faithful and righteous to forgive us, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The thing is keeping that relationship right with God because we're going to sin. That's not the problem. The problem is not understanding that and confessing it to keep right with the Father. That's the thing. We're so used to hiding it. Man, guys, men, I'm sorry, you're married. You've got a survival instinct. You know, you do. Yeah, you just do. It's not, you're not trying to be evil and bad, but you know, you want peace. And you mess up. You know you mess up. Or it's just me. We have to make careful words to make sure that we're not doing things that God called us not to do. But if we do, we need to confess it, get it out there, get it done with so Satan doesn't use that little needling to remind us how unrighteous that we are. Secondly is this. Do not be discouraged by your failures. Everyone fails, but don't be discouraged. Don't let it rule you. Don't let it govern you. Don't let it dominate your life. When you fail in life, understand you are in good company. I love that. Do web searches about people who failed. It's a great thing. Well, I'm not as bad as that person there. No, it's not the point about that, but you're in good company. Sir Walter Scott, Thomas Edison, Richard Byrd, Walt Disney were all considered failures before they went on to their greatest achievements. I love this quote. I found in 1921, Thomas Edison was being interviewed by B.C. Forbes for American Magazine. Listen to what he says. He says, I never allow myself to become discouraged under any circumstances. I recall that after we had concluded thousands of experiments on a certain project without solving the problem, one of my associates, after we had conducted the crowning experiment and it had proved a failure, expressed his discouragement and disgust over our having failed to find out anything. I cheerfully assured him that we had learned something, for we had learned for a certainty that the thing couldn't be done that way, and that we would have to try some other way. We sometimes learn a lot from our failures if we have put into the effort the best thought and work we are capable of. You do learn something. You learn, can't do it that way. So you do it another way. My mom is like that. My mom is just a cheerful person who just keeps pressing on. You know, well, I just, and then she'll tell stories about it forever and ever and ever. You know, she's got stories. Is she in this room? Whew. She's got stories. I love listening to them over and over again. You know, I'm 59. I've heard so many of them. I love to hear the ones about me because I didn't know those things happened to me. You know, she remembers things I just don't recall anymore. When you fail in life, you are in good company, especially in the Bible. You see, that's, I think, part of the authenticity of this book is that it just doesn't glorify all the good things. It shows the warts of people. It shows the shortcomings of people. We read of failures whom God took and used to accomplish great things in his service. God took a slave hiding as a fugitive from injustice and used him to deliver an entire nation from bondage. Who was that? Moses. Moses was a failure, hiding out in the desert. God took a woman who failed in marriage 5 times, was then living with a man who was not her husband, and Jesus used her to win a city to the Savior. Who was that? Actually, we don't know her name because it's not ever said, but it's the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. That's how we refer to. John 4:39, from that city many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all the things that I have done." In life, she would have been a failure. Also, she'd been a high risk. You know, 5 failed marriages, and this guy, well, I'm not going to marry him. I'm just going to live with him. Not God's plan. But Jesus used her to reach a city. He took a crooked tax collector and made him into an apostle and a biographer of the Christ. Levi, who became Matthew. He took a man who failed Christ in his darkest hour, denying him 3 times, and used him to open the doors of the kingdom of God. His name was Peter. He can do the very same things in our lives. God does not easily give up on his children. Like the tireless potter bending over the spoiled clay. Spoiled clay means you're working on something and it just falls apart. Yet he desires to do something good and noble in our lives. Let me read from you from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. The first part talks about how God called him in the womb. Even before he took his first breath, God called this man and ordained the days of his life, like he does all of us, by the way. But listen to what he says in chapter 18, verse 1. It said, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will announce my words to you.'" So Jeremiah gets up, goes down to the potter's house, and he begins to observe this artisan, this craftsman. He said, "I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. It fell apart. So he remade it into another vessel, as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel.'" Our life may seem as spoiled. Ever done pottery before? I haven't, but I would love to. I think that'd be the greatest thing as you're doing, you're forming the thing, you're forming the sides up. But sometimes I see where it just flops over, and the integrity is gone. And so that's what it means. It's spoiled, and you have to restart again. But see, God does the very same thing in our lives as well. What we see as spoiled, God says, "Don't give up, because I can do anything. I can do all things," meaning me, "through him who strengthens me." It's not dependent upon my strength. It's dependent upon God's strength. Good thing, because why? My strength is not that good. Good thing, because God's strength is mighty and powerful. God says, if the potter can do this, can I do this with your lives as well? Third point, do not let fear or of failure keep you from attempting great things from God. Do not let the fear of failure keep you from attempting great things for God. The question is, ask yourself, am I doing great things for God? I'm not talking about speaking to a crowd of 1,000, you know, and I'm talking about giving a cold cup of water to someone who needs it. That's what the Bible talks about. We tend to categorize them, you know, great things as, you know, huge front page news. No, it's the stuff that no one will ever hear, but it's great in God's eyes because you are following him and what he wants you to do. Some people are petrified of the thought of failure. They would rather face anything than the ego-shattering experience of trying something and have it in the end be in failure. How sad. How sad, because you've already then admitted defeat before you even tried. God does not call the equipped, he equips the called. You see the difference? God does not want you to get all the experience that you need, all the strength, the power, the money to do something. He wants you to be ready to do it, and then he'll supply that. That's the problem with the world. They don't think they need God because they have it all, and they have nothing. People adopt a play-it-safe philosophy and end up doing nothing at all. Just like the steward in the story, Matthew chapter 25, they take the talents given to them, whether they are actual talents or they are a monetary amount, and they bury this potential in the ground and end up standing before the master with this, here, it's yours. There's a lot of giftedness in this room today. But are those gifts being used for God's glory? I tell, and I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be overly humble, but you know, I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher. Teaching is not my strong suit, okay? It's not the greatest gift I think God has given to me. I love music. But I do what God's called me to do. And I trust him for the result. It's not until we are free to fail that we are free to succeed. People will tell you that. Unless you fail, you'll never know what it's like to be a success. Unless you lost love, you'll never know what it's appreciated to have love. You know, I I've had my heart broken so many times. The song, my old 45, The Carpenter's Close to You. Every time there's a breakup in school, I play that and lament in my bed, you know. No one's close to me. Round and round and round. That's why I'm so blessed with Luann, because I know what it's like to fail in relationships and to appreciate the one that has stuck it out for 20 and a half years. When you think about it, no one was more free to fail than Jesus. Think about that. How can you be a success? Shredded skin, arms stretched out on a cross, bleeding. To the world, he was the ultimate failure. There was no other more torturous and demeaning way to die. Head chop up, boom. But to be crucified was agony, sometimes for hours. Greatest success? It wasn't in that moment, is what God did when he raised him from the dead. A fact, people, by the way, not just a myth. You know, we talked about this before. I'm not going to redo it again. But yet he let it happen. In selfless abandonment to the will of God, he was free to fail in the eyes of man that he might not fail in the eyes of God. That's the thing. We have to get our eyes off from man as far as success and failure and get our eyes on God to let him determine what is success and failure. Because what may be failure here doesn't mean it's failure there. And what may be success here may not be success in God's eyes. I'm going to close with some words here for you. In Christ, we are called to be secure enough in God's grace to conquer our fear of failure. We are called to be free enough in our faith to take risks that bring reward. The security only comes in knowing our place in God. To know that we have His Son. To know that we have the Holy Spirit. Because life is full of experiences. A young man, age 32, became president of a company, bank. And he was on the fast track, but he didn't realize he was going to get there that fast, and he was a little bit insecure about it. So he went to the highly respected chairman of the board, and he wanted to get some advice from him. He says, I've just been appointed president, as you know, and I was wondering if you could give me some advice. And the older gentleman sat there, and he said, two words, right decisions. Okay, I was hoping for a little bit more than this. It's really helpful, and I appreciate that, but could you be a little more specific? How do I make right decisions? The old man cut his words in half and said, experience. And that's exactly why I'm here. I don't have the experience, so I want to go to you from your experience and see how it is that I get experience. The man goes, wrong decisions. It's not the wrong decisions that we make in our experience. It's not learning from them. It's not failure. But the lack of ability to get up again as God shows you what He wants to do. I believe this is good advice for Christians as individuals, but also applies to the body of Christ as well. We are the body of Christ, not in the building, but in people. We need to be willing to step out of God's leading and being willing to have a great vision of what God would have for us. God has not called us to simply start the race, but to finish strong as well. And if the church cannot risk failure in the sight of men, how can we expect to succeed in the sight of God? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the truth of your word, and thank you, Lord, that you don't abandon us in failure. It's there that we have the lessons, and you raise us up, and you grow us, and you teach us. Father, help us to learn those lessons good and wise and strong so that we do not have to endure them over and over again. And Father, may we take the truth of your word from this time and this day and move forward as well to your glory and to your honor, and to your praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Every soul we long to lead, every heart we hold to see, everywhere we share His peace is only by His grace. Every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise, is only by His grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength alone, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength alone, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone, we will go forth in grace alone.
Father, to help us. Help us to go and to seek you as we seek to reach this world that is lost. And all God's people said, amen. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.